It's 88.5 KCSN, Nick Harcourt with you on the morning show. We got Kaiser Chiefs in studio this morning. Welcome, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
I know we're going to play a couple of songs, and then we'll come back and have a chat. Off we go.
Here we go.
Let's do this.
Now the sun is gone.
Nick Harcourt, we've got Whitey and Simon from the band Kaiser Chiefs in studio. We're over at the Village, actually. And first of all, I want to thank you guys for playing for us and welcome to KCSN. How you doing?
Hi, good, yes.
Good. Yeah. I guess the first thing we should talk about is this little tour that you're doing right now. You've been doing some stuff in the States, obviously, and you told me you were down in Mexico. Mm-hmm. And you're setting up, it's setup time, as they call it, for the next album. What have you been doing?
Sort of, yeah. We had 8 gigs, a couple in England, a couple in Europe, a couple in the States here, and a couple in Mexico. I think it's partly for us to, like, you know, play the songs, and we haven't had a gig since September, which is a long time for us, actually. We're usually out and about, and also, you know, play the new songs for the fans, play the old songs for the fans. It's sort of a fan sort of thing, really, I think.
Yeah, I like to call it like a teaser tour.
A teaser tour.
We're playing 6 new songs, so it's quite a hefty amount of new songs in the set.
It's got to be an interesting time for the band, obviously, because it's the first album since Nick, the drummer, left the band.
Nick.
That guy.
Come on.
No, yeah, go on.
It's when something like that happens, when a band's been together as long as you have and one member leaves, then, you know, regardless of how that goes down, that's a big change. There's a change in the dynamic, and obviously I guess there's probably a change in the writing. And tell us a little bit about preparing for the new album. It's called Education, Education, Education and War, right? Mm.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, it was a big deal. Nick sort of said he would like to leave or finish or whatever quite a long time ago now, really. So it was a big decision. That was the main thing, was a big decision about to carry on, really. So the remaining 4 of us, we sort of got together, and none of us were ready to finish, really. We all thought we had something left to give, and I think we all felt like, I don't know, really.
We were doing kind of fest. We knew about it for a year, so we were touring for pretty much a year, knowing that Nick was going to leave. And
how does that work, though? Let me ask you, first of all, how that works. And I don't want to get into anything if it's uncomfortable, but when you know somebody's leaving, yet they're sort of still playing, and there's got to be a dynamic shift already happening, right? Because you know that he's on the way out and things are going to have to change.
Yeah, it's a bit of a weird time, really, because he was sort of pleased because he was looking forward to leaving. And so there's a lot of things where it was his last gig in Europe, his last gig. So I think he was enjoying himself, and the gigs were good, actually, very good. For us, I think it was a bit frustrating because we were sort of wanted to move on to the next thing.
Right.
But we couldn't do it. Like, we couldn't start writing songs while he was still in the band because that would be very odd. So
Did we tell him? I don't think we said. We didn't really tell him that we were going to carry on. We didn't like have a big conversation about it. We definitely hinted at it.
What was that conversation like then when the rest of you sit down and decide what you're going to do? And I'm asking this with a little bit of experience because many, many moons ago, I was in a band that you would never have heard of. But I remember somebody leaving the band and we're all going, so what are we going to do now? How are we going to go about this? I mean, what were the conversations like?
We just wanted to... get sort of, it was funny because it was very easy actually, but it was the build-up really was the main thing. So he was in the band and we were doing the gigs, as I say, and we didn't really know what we were going to do next, so we just wanted to get there. So he left, and then we got together in like end of October, I think it was 2012. We hired a big sort of barn thing in
Peter Gabriel's shed.
Fact. Fundamentally
at Real World or whatever,
at Real World, yeah. Just like slightly off, and then just the four of us went, so no drummer, and we would take turns doing the drums and just got involved and wrote some songs because we weren't sure. We hadn't written a song without Nick for...
ever, really.
Well, ever,
right.
Really.
Yeah. The band's been together since, what, 2000?
Well, it's sort of like White had been in a band with Nick since 97 or something.
Wow.
I've been in a band with Ricky for 3 decades.
So once you
three
make...
different decades.
That's wild. Once you make the... Ricky, who obviously is a singer, who's not in this particular part of the conversation because he's saving his voice.
He's waving. He's waving, but he's not making any noise.
That's Ricky, yeah.
He's waving, he's saving his voice.
Who's that nutcase out there? So once you make that decision, then, okay, you're jamming stuff out or whatever. Tell us about how the record came together and how you guys started to find a new comfort zone.
I don't know. It was funny at the start. It was good. We were all on the... all four of us were definitely on the same page. We all, you know, wanted it to work. But it was funny at the start. It was a bit kind of, you do something. No, yeah. You know, first person to kind of make the move kind of thing. So
right.
As soon as that happened, it was
very easy. Yeah. I feel bad in that it was so easy. It was because we went down to Bath, and on the way, I was driving Ricky. We were talking about it and going like, oh, I wonder what's going to happen. I wonder how it's going to be the first moment, what we're going to do. Because that was sort of, as I say, building up to be a big deal. Mm. Then White just got his iPad out and went, all right, I've got this, press play. And then we started playing it. And then from that moment onwards... It wasn't easy.
It's not on the album, that song, by the way.
It was quite hard, but it wasn't easy. It was quite hard, but it was like we just progressed.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, it was just, I don't think any of the songs, we had a week in Bath. I don't think any of those songs made it to the record, but it was an important part because we needed to start writing. And we didn't really know what direction we wanted to go because we knew that we had to do something really great and move the band forwards. Mm. Whilst remaining like sounding like Kaiser Chiefs. We didn't want to sort of like Nick to leave and that to be the end of Kaiser Chiefs sounding like a certain way.
Sure.
I mean, we wanted to.
But you had to make a leap.
But we had to sound, I think, you know, to be honest, the last maybe two records or 1.5 records haven't gone exactly as we'd loved them to have done. So we knew this is a really important record, you know, really like a make or break.
Mm. Well, when you say make or break, what's on the line?
Well, I think we still... I mean, the first couple of albums we released, we kind of reached some heady heights, and I think we've never. And if sometimes if you release not a bad record, but a record that doesn't sell, you're gone. You kind of left. But we were still, even though it did sell, we were still kind of still there to kind of grasp. You know what I mean? And we think all it takes is another great record by us, and we'll be back up there.
Now I'm thinking that most people in the States probably only know you from the Olympics, right?
I mean, who tribute band? Kaiser Chiefs.
Yeah. Well, like you were saying, why did we carry on? Nick was leaving, but we were doing the Olympics.
Exactly.
Like, why do we want to leave?
Well, that was going to be my question. It's like, you know, that's a pinnacle to play something like that and to place it to such a huge audience. So the record's done. It's coming out, obviously. What's the hope for the Kaiser Chiefs moving forward with this record?
Well, I think like what you said, we felt we had loads to give and get sort of back where we were. Do you know what I mean? Playing, when we write songs, I think this is what we got slightly lost is, I think initially when we first got the band together, the sort of ambition was high. You know what I mean? Playing to loads of people, playing at big festivals and, you know, as many people as possible hearing our songs and, you know, liking the songs, you know? Like still when we play, we've been to Mexico and all over the world on this little tour. When we play, say, the intro of Ruby, everyone goes crazy because everyone knows it and everyone likes it. And that is what we like. That's sort of where we want to be. And I think when we got a bit lost and we started doing other things and, you know, the fourth album, I think it was an interesting sort of experiment, but the songs are all over the place. We did it with millions of different producers in millions of different studios and there's millions of songs. And this one, I think it's a lot more focused about, you know, what we want to do and where we want to be. And it's got a unique sound. I think the whole record makes sense as a record and, you know, it's got some big songs on it.
Back on track to making essentially great records, really.
Well, it's great having you guys coming and playing for us, obviously, and talking to us. I know that record's coming out next month, Education, and War. And there'll be another tour later on in the year, I guess, a full tour.
Yeah, hopefully we'll just be doing lots and lots of gigs, cool. Massive gigs in stadiums.
Well, you're going to be playing one more song for us as we wrap up the show here this morning. I'm Nick Harcourt. It's 88.5 KCSN. One more from the Kaiser Chiefs, and then at the top of the hour, Jim Nelson. Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much.
Just wanna